Chapter 19, How to Win Arguments and Negotiations. The way you communicate will be one of the factors that will spell the difference between a successful compromise and a fruitless one. Be relaxed and confident. Speak in a way that commands respect. Project your voice in a low, downward, inflected pattern. Be focused and get straight to the point. There's no need to add unnecessary details that prolong the persuasion process. Winning arguments. There will, of course, be times when your opinion is different from that of others. In this occasion, you should never fight fire with fire. Do not allow your temper to match up with theirs. The battle is lost if both parties let their anger control the discussion. The more you oppose their point of views, the more they will try to you. What you must do is to agree with them to some degree, then gently insert your own viewpoint. After they have sensed your acceptance and respect on some of their perspectives, they will calm down a little. They may then be more open and considerate to your opinions. Then they will be much more receptive if you give them a counteroffer that will be beneficial to them. Let's say your family is complaining that you're not giving them enough attention. You're always the first one to leave the house, and you don't come back until late at night. Your wife says, "You never have time for us anymore. You're always out of the house, enjoying yourself. You never even bother to take us out on Sundays anymore." Now, if the reason you're staying out late is because you're working your butt off just to give your family a decent life, it will fire up your temper to hear those words. You might think she's so ungrateful to you after all you've done. Consider her feelings. She has the right to feel this way. Tell her, "I know I've been staying out late, and I've not been able to take you out. The workload is just enormous. I have to meet strict deadlines so that I may be promoted to give all of you a much better life." She calms down a little, then asks, "Could we then go to the mall on Saturday and watch a movie?" You pondered and realized that you've got a boatload of tasks that may not be finished until Tuesday of next week. You want to make it up to her, but you have to finish this job. After this project, you'll have much more time for them. Just tell her, "Honey, I would really love to go out with you and with our two sons, but I have to finish a deadline, which will require me to work full-time up until Tuesday. Tell you what, after my project is finished, we'll go shopping and watch a movie together. We'll go to Disneyland. We'll go swimming and biking. We'll spend all day together until my next project comes up. Would that be okay?" She will understand your situation. Ultimately, she will not be able to refuse such a sweet counterproposal. Most arguments are caused by difference in opinions. These opinions may be based on personal experience, and not everyone has the same experiences on any particular subject matter. For example, your friend Jack went to the newest barber shop in town to have his hair cut. He found the service to be terrible. The barbers are unaccommodating, and the haircut looked like it was done by an inexperienced grass cutter. Weeks later, the old barbers have been replaced by much experienced and professional barbers. Your other friend Eric, not knowing about Jack's experience, went to the barber shop to try it out. He was very satisfied with his haircut and impressed with the service. Now you want to try that barbershop too and ask your friends if they have ever went there and what they think of the service. Jack told you that if he were the boss, he would fire the barbers for their unfriendly behavior and for making him look like a monster in a horror flick. Eric, on the other hand, told you that he has never looked so good until he tried out that new barbershop. He's now a close friend of the barbers. In this case, who do you think has made the right judgment? Both people based their opinion on their own experience. If we argue with others that our opinion is right based on our personal experiences, we stop learning and we restrict our potential. A simple exploratory question may resolve this issue instead of insisting that he's right because he's personally experienced it. Jack or Eric may say something like, "Well, it seems like our experience with this new barbershop is different. Maybe we can learn from this experience by sharing our insights. How did you arrive at your opinion?" By doing this, not only will the details of the discussion be clarified, but also a learning process takes place. Perhaps it might be better to see if the same barbers are still there and people are still going there, then that may be a sign that the service is good. The case is different if the opinion is based on fact or evidence. If you're not sure whether one of our sources gave us the wrong details, we better find out which one is accurate, or we might suffer the consequences later on. You can also say this, even if you're absolutely sure you're correct, is we don't want to hurt anyone's ego or self-esteem. By saying the above statement, you transfer the accountability of the inaccurate or wrong data to an external factor. Instead of fighting who among you is right, you both cooperated to achieve a common goal, and that is of finding the correct information. Winning negotiations. To ensure a triumphant negotiation process, you should observe the following. Define your goal with clear-cut precision. Plan your approach and prepare to engage any opposition. Respect the other person's principles. Your suggestion or proposal should be adaptable according to the circumstances. If conditions are not appropriate, regroup and formulate a superior strategy. Satisfy the other person's needs. Don't project any image of negativity in your negotiations. Note that people with different traits respond to your proposal in different ways. People who lack confidence are more susceptible to believe in what you have to say. You will have better chances of influencing them. Compliment them on their proposal, then gently point out the weak areas and convince them to consider your proposition. People who are self-confident have a firm personality. They will not give in easily. Acknowledge their decisions, point out the advantages of your offer, and prove to them how applying your suggestion could bring about success in attaining the desired outcome. Picking their brains. You can easily influence people if you think like the person you are persuading. Put yourself in their shoes. Would you be impressed with your own proposal? Would you be ecstatic about the many advantages of your offer? If you don't feel excited or interested with your own idea, then chances are they won't be either. Revise your strategy. Don't stop until you get the right formula to captivate their emotions. Aside from evaluating it yourself, ask your friends how they would feel if they were given your proposition. It would be better if you ask a third party so that the comment will not be biased. If you're offering something so irresistible that you want to accept your own proposal, then you've got yourself a winner. Try and try until you die. Now, I was just joking when I said until you die. It doesn't have to be that brutal and heartless. Nevertheless, you have to possess that persistent, undying determination in sticking with your convictions. When I was in high school, one of my classmates borrowed some money from me. Since I was a kind-hearted person and still had a couple of bucks to spare, I gave him the money. He told me he'd give it back after he received his allowance. 1 week had passed. 2 weeks had passed. Every time I went to him, he would just say his allowance was not yet enough to pay me. I got really frustrated. The time came when I was the one who was short on cash and I had no one to turn to. I approached my classmate quietly and saw that he had a lot of money in his wallet. He did not notice that I was behind him. I politely asked for my money. He wouldn't give it to me, saying he had to buy many important things. I stood there and did not let him go. I said, "Please give me my money now. It's my mom's birthday and I need to buy her a gift." He said, "Not right now. I have to buy some school supplies for our project. I'll give it to you some other time." I said, "This is a very important occasion. I've caught a glimpse of your wallet and saw that you have more than enough. All I'm asking is that you give me what you owe me. Please give me my money now." He said, "I'm sorry. We have to have these materials for our class project. Can I give it to you next week?" I said, "I'd like to give you an extension, but I also really need the cash. It's really important that I have it now. Please give me my money now." He said, "Some other time, maybe. I've got other urgent things to pay for." I said, "I'm sure you have other important things to pay for, but that's your concern. Please give me my money now." He said, "I really can't give it now. Sorry." I said, "I can understand why you would say that, but please give me my money now." I stood firm with my mission and did not give him a way out. Finally, he couldn't take it any longer. He handed me the money, and I felt an overwhelming sense of power. I also learned my lesson well. You have to be determined to get what you want. No storm, no earthquake, no war should ever hinder you from carrying out your ultimate purpose. Okay, I was exaggerating. The tone of your voice should have a downward inflection to suggest a command. Don't let your temper burst out of control. Maintain courtesy and self-awareness. If you have to sound like a broken record, so be it. Let him know that the only way he can stop the agony of hearing your never-ending request is to simply give in. Never give the other person an easy way out. Stay focused on your target. Force that person to make you stop by giving in to your request. Remember that if you're fighting for a just cause, you have absolutely nothing to fear. The good ones always win in the end. Set yourself free. Don't you just hate it when other people take control of your decisions? You just want to eat some seafood, but they say you have to eat fruits and vegetables. You just wanted to take that psychology class in college, but your parents forced you to take engineering. You're tired of hearing all those commands, but you're such a good and responsible person, you end up doing them, even if they're against your will. Freedom is what you want. Freedom to do whatever you like without hurting other people's feelings. It's very difficult if you have to choose between following your own desires or catering to others' requests. You have to know your rights and enjoy them. You have the right to remain silent, then you also have the right to voice out your inner feelings. You can state your views, even if they oppose the opinions of other people. You have the right to make your own decisions. If you don't like to do something, then nobody has the authority to force you to. Here's an article. I believe it'll give you some insight and motivation on your right to be free. Are you the master of your destiny? How strong are you? I'm not asking if you can carry 150 pounds of weight on your shoulder. What I'm after is your strength of character. How resilient are you to hang on to your dreams amidst the raging forces of discouragement and criticism? There are far too many individuals who never get to experience the joy of attaining their desires because other people's influence has significantly and sometimes negatively affected their crucial decisions. Were there instances in your life when other people said that you shouldn't continue your plans because they're never going to work? What did you do? Did you continue your endeavors, or did you just follow their command? If you always adhere to others' beliefs and opinions, even though they are contrary to yours, you're just torturing yourself. It's like you don't have a mind of your own. You're like a shadow following the moves of someone else. You may listen to other people's advice, but never let them control you. If their advice would contribute to your success and well-being, then by all means, consider following it. But if it would hinder you and stray you away from what you really want in life, then you've got to take a stand and pursue your heart's aspirations. Sure, there would be criticism, but if you always avoid them, then you'll never be truly happy. As one famous person said, there's a sure way to avoid criticism. Be nothing and do nothing. This remedy never fails. True enough, take my case. When I was in my first year of college, my dad wanted me to shift my course to physical therapy because it was in demand in the United States at that time. But I wanted to continue my studies in accounting. I remained firm with my decision, and after some negotiations, he finally gave in. Then there's the love of my life. Chinese tradition states that Chinese people marry their own kind. No offense, but I fell madly in love with this Filipino girl. Despite all the criticisms and discouragement, I defended my love for her. Right now, we're going strong, and my relatives respect my decision. You see, if I'd given up easily in any of these two scenarios, I would have deprived myself of the joy and contentment of my life. Sometimes other people's words will cut like a knife, but never be disheartened. Listen to the voice inside of you. We will never be able to satisfy everybody because each of us is unique. We have our own distinct traits and values. Respect for each other's opinions should be upheld. With that said, I'd like to leave this final message that sums it all up. Follow your heart, and happiness will follow. Okay, so you know your rights. If God has given you free will, then no ordinary human being can ever take that away from you. You hear me? No one. Independence does not mean that you can do anything you want to do without suffering the consequences. Criminals have rights, but they abuse them. They steal and they kill, so they have to pay the price and be punished. If there were no rules, then this world would go berserk. You must take full responsibility for your actions. You have the rights and the freedom, but you will still be held accountable for your deeds. So be wise and do the right thing. This is the end of chapter 19.